After Buzzers, this is the Outlander After Show, and we're talking slavery. Yay! Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 4, Episode 2, Do No Harm. I'm Adrian Snow and my fellow co-host.
I'm Rachel Goodman.
All right. So, yeah, guys, we're talking slavery.
Yeah. And you sounded so happy.
You know, I knew it was coming. I was like, if I come back for season four, I know we're going to have to talk about slavery. Do I really want to talk about slavery? But we're going to talk about slavery. First thoughts. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Before we go into first thoughts, I just want to remind everyone to stay tuned at the end of the show for our prediction segment, as well as our special segment, Book to Screen. All right. First thoughts.
Overall thoughts. I loved how they tied in the title with the recurring theme with Claire, which is always a physician's need to do no harm and do the least amount of harm. Always try to save the patient, but do the best thing for the circumstance.
Yeah.
So, and I knew we were going to go somewhere with that. Mm-hmm. I love how they tied it all together at the end.
Yeah.
I know.
I thought the episode was okay. I think this is also not, this is a discussion that's also being had with other people who have viewed the show and critics and such about how they handled just the slavery storyline. And the story is about Claire and Jamie, that is true, but it did, for me at least, this is the moment where I really noticed that sometimes the secondary characters are occasionally not as fleshed out.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something that has always kind of been the case, and I haven't really picked up on it, but when it came to the time to tell a story about slavery, it's just... I don't know. I guess I expected it to be handled better. And so, I don't know. But overall, it was okay.
I read, I was looking at different interviews on Variety. They were saying that, you know, the writers, they didn't even know how to handle it exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were actually debating upon doing it differently and just writing it a different way. So apparently they...
And they did.
Yeah.
They did write it differently from the book. But
yeah, but it just, there was a lot of discussion in the writer's room before they got to this episode and had it come out the way that it did.
Yeah, I think it... You know, I also do the Doctor Who After Show on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Just a little small plug there. And yesterday they had an episode that pertained to partition of India. And so I think what Chris Chibnall did really well is that he understood that maybe that's not a story that he or a fellow non person of color should be telling. And so he brought in someone who is actually, I believe, Vinay Patel is Indian, I want to say, to write the story. And I think just having that kind of inclusion behind the scenes would help with the handling of this story better.
Yeah.
It's not to say that oh my gosh, why am Diana Gabaldon? Can't write these stories, or that the woman that they chose, who was a white woman, to write the screen version of this or adaptation of this, can't write it as well. It's just, I think it helps to have voices from people who are black or, you know, descendants of slaves, to kind of come in and say, well, like, this is what, you know, what's been passed down to me as a story from that perspective, just to kind of give you an idea of like, well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a delicate subject, especially in 2018, especially because it's been around for so long, and we've seen so many stories about slavery.
Yeah,
that it's,
exactly.
It is hard to pull off. So I get it, but it's also like, eh.
Yeah, I understand that too. And I guess what they were just trying to do was pull it as, you know. I mean, I know they kind of we'll get there, but pull it as out as respectably as possible.
Yeah, they said that they wanted to keep it as close to the actual book, versus kind of bending to any current mindsets, I suppose. But The book was written in 1996, and so...
That's where I was going with that, too, is that her books, we're in a different world. So it's just not that, just maybe the way that things, not that she was, you know, not that there's anything wrong with how she wrote it, but just even, you know, just being here 22 years later, it's just, you know, you can feel, like, I almost feel sometimes when we watch Outlander that I can sense the writing because I can sense that the show, not that the show itself is outdated because it's a very modern show, but the some of the topics and some of the ways that they, like, some of the plots that we get to feel like a dated, like, oh, I'm reading a 1990s romance novel.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Get down with the get down. But it's also... I think it's important to understand that you can still tell the same story and include voices that maybe, you know, Diana would not have included in 1996.
Yeah.
And it'll still be the same story. You're just fleshing out those characters a little bit more. But let's go ahead and get into the actual episode. So we open up with them just post-Bonnet and his craziness. Didn't really get to see, oh, they buried Leslie, like, just... off the river. Is that correct?
They buried him off the river. Jamie was complaining about it because he wanted to give him a proper burial.
Yeah.
The thing that really made me... the way they started off the episode, they really downplayed the effects of Stephen Bonnet. And I wanted to see that more. We didn't need too much more, but that's where I felt like the episode started off kind of in the wrong direction. And they should have shown, like, show us a little bit of how you're going to deal with this.
Yeah.
Claire, you know, she wasn't raped or sexually assaulted, but he... was really close to getting there with her and just everything she went through, everything Jamie went through.
Yeah.
And I get it. We're picking up, obviously, with, you know, after some time has passed. But I wanted to see the aftermath of how they felt with that whole situation.
I mean, I think even last episode we talked about how Outlander does a really good job of showing PTSD and and how it affects its characters. But not to say that, I mean, they've been through so much. But, you know, just giving... I think the characters a little bit of space to breathe at the top after what is a very traumatic event. Like, they are penniless now. Like, they have to kind of bend to the wills of what's offered to them versus having a little bit more agency than they currently have. You know, when they first were going to Ancho Costa's, they kind of had the ability to turn down an offer of becoming an heir or to turn down Tryon's offer. And now they're kind of having to juggle those things, which... Just going to say I called it. I knew he was going to have to think about that offer. And I knew he'd probably be a plantation owner. So that's something that I would have liked to have seen fleshed out more. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe pacing does seem a bit weird this season. And in terms of we're clipping along pretty quickly. And there are certain beats that they could take more time with, I feel, that they have in the past that they aren't now.
Yeah. Or, like, even, you know, the first two episodes, it's like, okay, we have... not so much in episode two, though, but we're kind of getting... like, they took kind of a slow time with certain things in episode one. And then in episode two, it was like, okay, we didn't even get a beat after Stephen Bonnet. It was just, like, a really, like, quick thing. And then we went right into, you know, meeting Aunt Jocasta and... getting into that.
But with that said, thinking about it now, even in season one, when you think about the introduction of Captain Jack, he's introduced pretty much at the top of her coming back in time and then kind of disappears for the rest of the episode. And so we don't really see them again. So I guess that's not completely outside of what they normally do. I could have taken a little bit of more time with that.
Yeah.
But we do get introduced to Ancho Costa, played by Maria Doyle Kennedy, because I could not remember her name last time. Apologies. And
on the Tudors.
She's on the Tudors. She's also S on Orphan Black. And so you've seen her around. She's been around. She also played one other character I can't think of, but she was really great in something else as well. So we're introduced to Ancho Costa, and just, like, what was your first impression of Ancho Costa?
Completely, she completely took me, like, you know, through me, because from the previews, I was expecting her, and I think I even said this last time, I was expecting her to be really, like, you know, kind of mean to them, not really understanding. She seemed very sweet, and it wasn't, like, you know, she kind of expected Claire to be the way that Claire was.
Yeah.
So I liked how Aunt Jocasta was. And even though she wasn't as, you know, like, obviously Claire is from a different time period. So for Aunt Jocasta's time, she's acting like a normal person in terms of, okay, well, I have slaves. Well, yeah.
Colonizer.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, everyone else did too. So it didn't, you know, she was just... you know, an example of someone in her generation. So it doesn't necessarily, you know, I was expecting her to be a much worse person than the person we learned.
I thought it was an interesting choice to have her to be so different from Jamie and Ian in terms of mindset. Like, she was much more law-abiding, which I thought was unusual for someone related to Jamie. No offense, but, like, you know, most of his family's like,
yeah,
damn the law. Like, we do what we want. And so it made me kind of realize, oh, well, maybe she's been, and forgive me for not knowing it, maybe if you know in the chat, please let us know how long she's been in America. I don't know if we got that information. Possibly we did, but you, just in terms of having that mindset switch over, or if she ever had a different mindset to begin
with. I mean, we know that the last time she saw Jamie, he was a little boy.
Yeah.
So that could have been when she left.
Yeah. And I think it's slightly different in the books, but we'll get to that at some point. So we are introduced to Anticosta and her slave Ulysses.
Yeah.
Going to be so uncomfortable calling people slaves the whole season, you guys. I'm going to be like, and her slave Ulysses. And awkward. So we also get the realization that she is blind and or has been losing her sight, which I got to say, I appreciate it that that wasn't something you caught right off the bat.
I didn't,
when she was first introduced.
I had no idea until she said something.
Yeah, until the flowers came and she didn't touch him. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, what's weird? Is she, like, you know, telling young Ian he has to go?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Like, she was really insulted by him for some reason and she was going to, like, shun him.
Yeah.
but
no, she's just a blind old lady.
Yeah.
So we get that introduction of her, and we get the understanding that she's operating in this land of colonies in North Carolina in
1767.
And so, are there anything from the chat?
We actually have a couple of comments.
Yeah, let's go in for it.
Yeah, so we have a lot of people talking about the book. There are no spoilers, so I'll read the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Elizabeth Brown just says, hello, they changed it around from the book.
Yes.
There were quite a few changes, some big and others small. Other things happened in different order. Laurie Stone Haskell said, I read the book so long ago I can't recall what didn't happen and what the order was. Let's see. We have a couple others. Billie Jean says, I wasn't sure about the times I thought Jamie's aunt was blind. Okay, so she obviously picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elizabeth Brown says, I missed that they changed Claire and Jamie's clothes for the party. Jamie was supposed to be wearing her husband's kilt. So, yeah. But speaking of, you know, Outlander and you know, people in the chat.
Supporting the show.
I just want to let you guys know, with AfterBuzz, our network actually produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, not just Outlander. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry, because they're optional and you can turn them off and then you won't be bothered. So go ahead, hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz channels as well. If you let us know that we did in the comments, we will give you a shout out live on the air. So for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV Talk.
ESPN of TV Talk, y'all.
Yeah.
Follow,
so go ahead,
rate, subscribe. All of that good stuff.
Thank you in advance.
Wherever you listen to your podcast. And YouTube. All right, you got to watch it on YouTube. All the faces that are made, it's great. Okay. So we're introduced to Anticosta and Ulysses, and they're brought into the plantation, and Claire has that moment where she realizes, ooh, shit.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm in slavery, and I am acting complicit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had so many thoughts about, like, well, I don't know how I would handle that. If I were a time traveler, well, one, we all know what happened to me if I time traveled back to 1767, but America. But I had a lot of frustration and then also a lot of empathy for being like, well, she is one single woman in, you know, a world where that is acceptable and that is okay. And for her to raise her voice, not only as a woman, but in support of Black bodies,
yeah,
will essentially mean that she will probably be murdered. Like, and all the Black people she's trying to help will be murdered as well. Yeah. So it was kind of a push and pull when she has that realization as well.
And that's the thing for me is that obviously, I know last season, one of my big things with her was I felt like not so much with America, because she mm-hmm. didn't know she was going to end up in America, but mm-hmm. with, you know, obviously Scotland and mm-hmm. certain things happening to her. And, you know, I just felt like she should have done more research in general to know her history. Certain things she wasn't aware of that she should have been.
And she's, for someone who's not, you know, I mean, she does raise her daughter in America, but for yeah. someone who's not actually American, she does, like, know her history. Well, I mean, not even Scottish yeah. history. She's a very good hold on history.
And I didn't expect her to know American history mm-hmm. at all, or, you know, that much, because she didn't even know she was going to end up in America. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like in her situation, knowing as much as she does know, mm-hmm. I was, you know, obviously, I felt like she had the right idea to try and, you know, change things. But I felt like she should have, knowing what she knew, she should have done it a different way. To try and make a difference that way.
Yeah, I think it's something about, in that type of situation, playing the long game. Mm-hmm. And there's no easy way to really handle that, especially when you're put in a position where you are clearly going to become part of a family and a system that encourages
yeah.
Keeping yeah. people as slaves. And so, or as property, as they brought up numerous times in the episode. I was like, we get it. We haven't forgotten. So it was nice, but it was also kind of, it was, you know, it was a little also like of a savior complex of like, well, if I do this one thing, then maybe it won't though. It won't. Like yeah. you can't really, if you don't have any power in the situation, there's not much you can do. So I understand from both sides. I kind of understand that, like, well, she had no power, but then also you have no power. So maybe you shouldn't do certain things because you just don't know the world you're walking into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then the whole thing with, okay, we'll save one person, but it's going to get everyone else killed.
Yeah. And that was real, you know, because there's a reason why they hang Rufus at the end, you know, yeah. even though it's his dead body. A lot of the times, even, you know, currently, like, you know, people want to instill fear
yeah.
and keep people in line by having them fear for their safety. Well, if you fall out of line, then no questions asked, you'll probably be raped and murdered, or you'll be tortured and murdered. And so there's always putting that people who misbehave, quote unquote, on display to show that this is the punishment when you are not a good slave.
Yeah.
But we are jumping, I guess, a little bit ahead. So we have a few introductions of some characters coming up because Jamie and Claire, like, everybody wants to meet Jamie and Claire. Wherever they go, France, they go to a beautiful party, everybody wants to meet them. Jamaica, beautiful party, everybody wants to meet them.
lots of parties.
Lots of parties yeah. for some people who don't have any money or really any power, just saying. Yeah. But so Andre Costa wants to throw a party, and we realize that there's another reason behind the party to introduce Jamie and Claire to some fellow North Carolina. Oh my God, I'm from the South, I should know this. Carolinians, people from Carolina. I want to stick with that. Like, and so what did you think of that? We were introduced to Farquaad and Lieutenant Wolf.
I mean, they made them, obviously I didn't like either of them, from, you know, Farquaad mm-hmm. and Wolf, mm-hmm. Especially when Wolf, like, not only the issue with slavery, but just in general, Wolf seems to want to you know, kind of dictate what they're going to do with crops and just mm-hmm. kind of dictate the show. And everything, like, you know, when JV was like, oh, well, we should do rice instead of wheat because the wheat's mm-hmm. going to, you know, it's not going to work with the river. Yeah, obviously, like, there's going to be, if Jamie were to stay, there would have been some kind of power struggle.
Yeah.
Not just over everything, I think. And I think that by Jocasta's choice to name him as the heir, mm-hmm. it, like, I got the vibe that, you know, even the people smiling and, like, all excited actually weren't, and that mm-hmm. people were kind of pissed off by it.
Definitely, my first impression of Lieutenant Wolf is that he was, I wrote, has a villainous turn to him, question mark, because he just seemed like bad news.
Yeah.
Just like when you see Bonnet, you're like, that guy seems like really handsome, surfer dude, Point Break, bad news. I'm never going to give up on that. Get better. Anyways, so with Lieutenant Wolf, it was kind of that, I got the impression that he wanted to own Aunt Jocasta's property when she passed. And so having Jamie there threw a wrench in his plans, because that was his intention, to kind of take over for this woman who, you know, probably doesn't know anything. And I appreciated that moment of even Jocasta kind of speaking up to the fact that with Jamie there, it kind of gives her voice power, because she has someone there who will speak, and as a man, because that's just the times that you needed kind of a male backing in order to really have a true power.
She even said, you know, my voice doesn't have any weight.
Yeah.
She could have said the same thing as Jamie, and it wouldn't, the guy, you know, Wolf would have probably made 100 different excuses. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even Jamie, you could tell he just kind of like bit his tongue and left. But just, you know, even with him, it's almost like, you know, he has no, this Wolf guy, like, I definitely agree with you. Bad news. Mm-hmm. Just there to take over. And didn't like Jamie just coming in out of nowhere and Jocasta saying, yep, here's the heir.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times for us ladies out there you've said something and then had a man repeat what you said.
The same exact thing, and everyone hears.
Everyone hears and listens and agrees with him.
I hate that.
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Jeez. But it was nice to have that moment to kind of just register that current of, like, there are multiple problems happening in this one scene.
Yeah.
And not just in terms of slavery, but women's rights. And you kind of see, like, that. It's interesting to see the setup for what will later become the Civil War and the suffragette movement later on. Like, you see, like, oh, okay, there's always, the seeds are there. Like, Me Too, Black Lives Matter didn't come out of nowhere. The seeds are always there.
Yeah.
And so moving on from that, we go into a nice little moment with Ian and John Quincy Myers.
Yeah.
So John Quincy Myers, I believe, plays a prominent part in the book. I don't know what that is particularly as of yet, but he is pulled from the book. And we get to talk about the Native Americans.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite conversations of this episode. Mm-hmm. And I love especially how, not just with Jamie, but young Ian, they can relate to the Native American people who were here. Mm-hmm. I love that they keep drawing that comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice, because I think that's often how, or often I've been having a whole, like, tumultuous moment in my life about the word often. So that we see that the way people can develop empathy is to see themselves in another person. And so I think that's kind of a good way, especially for Ian, who we don't really have any clue as to where he would have stood without the influence of Jamie and Claire.
Yeah.
But to have him kind of be like, I identify with these people and what they're going through, because this is very similar to what my own people have gone through back home. And so I'm very excited to see what their interactions with Native Americans will be, and hopefully it'll make up for some of the weirdness around the slavery. But just that moment of them talking, and it was such a weird shot of, like, them talking about how they feel about Native Americans and the sexualization of the Native American women, like, in terms of how they feel about hairy men. I was like, okay, this is kind of a weird conversation, but it makes sense for these two men. And then the little black child, like, carrying two buckets of water when the one guy's carrying one and doing all the work. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I get it, but can we, like, I don't know. I just always want those moments. I don't know. I get it. But it's also, oh, man, like, can we acknowledge that moment?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, not to interrupt the conversation, but Lance Porter subscribed. So I wanted to give...
Thank you, Lance Porter, for subscribing.
Yeah.
We appreciate those subscriptions and those clicks. thumbs up all the way.
Yeah.
Is there any other news from the chat?
Actually, we have a bunch of comments. Let's see. The Queen of Regal has a couple things. Mm-hmm. Claire and Jamie need to play both sides and long game goals. I agree with you completely mm-hmm. on that. They need to leave the next 4 years so they don't get caught up in the war. And it was more Jamie's idea to get involved with slavery more than Claire. Mm-hmm. She just did the best she could with what she had.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we disagree with what Claire did. I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in. I just think overall, in terms of the writing of it, there's some things I would have preferred that they just kind of fleshed out a little bit more. So, anywho. So, after Jamie's named heir, that's when they start plotting to maybe we can free the slaves.
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, nah. I wish, but there's no way.
I thought the better way in this environment, I thought the better way for them to do it, even though it's, you know, obviously not ideal, was just for them to kind of do everything under the table.
Oh, yeah.
And like, okay, well, you guys technically are still slaves, but we're going to pay you and we're going to, like, you know, not put you through crappy conditions and like...
Ain't nothing to it but to do it. And
yeah.
I think the biggest mistake Jamie had was like just trying to...
Do it through the law.
Like, well, just, yeah, trying to be reasonable about it. Like,
people aren't reasonable.
Clearly they aren't reasonable. Like, have you not heard your aunt talking about how...
Yeah.
You know, these people are her property. Like, wait for the old biddy to die. No offense. Is old biddy a bad term? I don't know. Wait for her to die and then do what you want.
I wouldn't, if I had been Jamie when I was signing that paperwork, I wouldn't have even said anything.
Yeah.
I would have just said, cool, let's sign. Where do I go? And then after that, I would have just changed everything under the table so that, you know, if they, you know, obviously, so that no one could
And then
come
deal
with
the repercussions
torches.
Later. Exactly. Yeah. It's just so weird because, and I guess they would have to do a lot of firing of like the overseer burns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's the thing is that's what I would have done too. If I were him, I wouldn't have worked. Like the first thing I would have done was get rid of those guys that were going to cause problems and, you know, get in people that he could trust that weren't going to do those bad things.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I'm sure that would be pretty difficult just because of the mindset of the time. But
yeah, but I'm sure he could have, you know, found someone.
I'm sure he could have found, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
It for a couple that is really good at plotting things behind closed doors, I was very surprised that they wanted to be so open.
Yeah.
Especially from Claire. Like, if you know the history of American slavery, then you should have an understanding that you should be really secretive. Like, if you learn nothing from the history of it, is that most of the things that happened that were about... freeing the slaves happened behind closed doors and with limited people talking about it. For people that didn't agree.
And especially considering where they are, too.
Yeah.
It's not even like if she was in Massachusetts or Pennsylvania, it would have been a different story. But
well,
she's
even
in,
then, though, it's still a colony and it wasn't quite. I think slavery was happening even in all the colonies.
Yeah, it was.
At the time.
It was, yeah.
But it's also, she knows that there's about 98 more years of it, so just, you know, think about it. But we're introduced to the biggest part of the story. Well, one, I just want to talk about how there are 152 slaves on that plantation. So when they do talk about wanting to free them, they talk about how it's 100 pounds sterling to free a slave, so it'd be $15,000 to free every single one.
And they have to prove that slave has saved a life.
Yeah. It's all BS.
Yeah.
It's all BS.
Yeah.
It's just like dumblaws.com. It's an old website. Look at that. where you're like, wait, what? This is illegal? Anyways, or very difficult to get out of. So we end up having the moment, which is kind of the big moment of the episode, where the slave Rufus has done something incredibly reasonable, like cut off Overseer Burns' ear after Overseer Burns whips him. Yeah. Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, eye for an eye, right?
Yeah,
ear
seriously.
Ear for a slash. Yeah.
You probably deserve worse. So.
Big deal. and we approach Jamie is called to deal with it because he's going to be taken for his heir, and Jocasta wants him to handle it. And this is when they learn that the price of breaking the flesh of a white man is death. I don't know. How did you feel about that whole scene? I was kind of like,
it was so.
It's so much bloodier than I feel like it needed to be. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, the whole. So, Yeah. So first, when they show up and they find him with this hanger, you know, the hook, I was like, oh my God, like that was, you know, hard enough to see. Mm-hmm. I didn't even buy, like, even before they got there, I didn't buy that someone that Rufus had attacked Burns.
No, not at all.
No. I was like, okay, what really happened?
Well, they did say that he hit him.
Yeah.
That Burns hit Rufus, and Rufus responded by cutting off his ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, just it was really hard to watch. And then mm-hmm. as she was saving him, I kind of knew. I was like, yeah, they're going to come in for him. And mm-hmm. this isn't going to end well.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe it was just especially, you know, we'll get there. But just the whole idea of them hanging him by the hook, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like an aesthetic thing. It's like, well, that's how gruesome can we make it?
Yeah.
And I encourage writers, though I am not one, to really, I know it's complex because you want to show that slavery was brutal, but we really know that slavery was brutal. If you don't know that slavery was brutal, if you happen to go through the Texas educational system at this point and you think that they were volunteers or employees. I'm from Texas. I can say this. Like, I'm here to tell you, no, slavery was really brutal. And but at the same time, if you're just showing the brutality for brutality's sake, then maybe you need to reconsider that.
Yeah.
Like if you can't put a proper story, a backbone to the story behind the brutality that you're showing, maybe don't show it.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like the hook in the stomach. If they wanted to show Claire dealing with his injuries, there could have been a different way.
Yeah, there could have been. I mean, they could have needed her for anything, and they didn't have to show him hanging like that. They could have just shown, you know, maybe without getting too, you know, close up on that, and then her operating on him. Now, I do get why they would have to show him with an injury and why they'd show her. Well, the whole point with her was that, you know, do no harm. She had to make this awful choice.
Here's the thing. I get that, but you know, if he had been whipped, the kind of an injuries that she could have dealt with, like the possibility of infection from it, because, you know, that was a real true common thing. And it's not to say that slaves weren't hung by hooks, but Claire has also straight up killed people, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, she's killed people, poisoned people on numerous occasions. So I think if you want to talk about, I think if you're going to bring up the oath that she has, the Hippocratic Oath, then you have to acknowledge the fact that she has, throughout her life, for survival, killed actual people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually.
Some stuff from the chat.
Yeah. So, the Queen of Regal liked and subscribed. Done.
Thank you.
So, we have another one. And Elizabeth Brown, I want to give her a retroactive shout out because she's been subscribed for a couple of years.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for being subscribed for so long. We really appreciate that. We really appreciate you guys. I got to say that Outlander is probably the sweetest fan base that I'm a part of. And thank you guys so much. So we move on to Claire has decided to take care of Rufus over Overseer Burns, and I agree with that decision. Overseer Burns can live without an ear. But there are repercussions to that, as she is actively breaking the law by doing that, as he needs to be hanged because he broke the skin of a white man and he caused him to bleed. And so, sorry, that's just so wild. By taking him in and giving him comfort, Lieutenant Wolf has made it clear, like, you have until midnight to figure this out, like, not to figure this out, but to release him to us, or worse things will happen.
Which, I do like that about the episode.
Yeah.
If, at the very beginning, they showed a clock, and they didn't say why, but it was the same clock they end up showing when we get back to this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that worked really well.
Yeah, to kind of show, like, the time, it's the counting down to the time.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that there was a moment with Ulysses, where he gets to kind of acknowledge that, hey, yeah, cool, you want to help, but no, you're actually endangering all of us. Because the stakes were that real. It only took one person disobeying to annihilate an entire plantation of people, because these people were property. If And in terms of that, if you think about it, this is a horrible, horrible metaphor, but they thought of slaves as if one goes rabid, if one starts acting out, then we have the right to wipe out the entire group. And when you have that understanding of that mindset, then you really understand the people that you're dealing with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Ulysses, it was hard to, it was, this whole episode was hard, but mm-hmm. this, especially that moment that he had with Claire, mm-hmm. where he's trying to reason with her because he had a really valid point in mm-hmm. terms of his own society, his own survival and mm-hmm. the survival of the plantation mm-hmm. and the survival of the other, you know, 151 slaves that they had. It's almost like, okay, well, unfortunately, we have to sacrifice one person to save everyone else.
Yeah. And then it becomes, they even said at the end, at the post show, where they talk about how, like, they were going to say, well, maybe yeah. we should have Rufus say, kill me, but then that would take away the choice from Claire.
Yeah.
And I get that, but at the same time, it's just, I didn't like how it was handled. So we, okay, so let's get to the very end of this.
Yeah.
So we finally get to the point where Jamie asks Claire to do the thing that she did for Colm, yeah. where she
poisons
him.
Yeah.
And she takes atropine and she pours it in some tea. And I disagreed with the fact that they did not tell Rufus this is what they were going to do. Like, they discussed it outside of the room. Is that correct?
Yeah, they didn't tell him. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I would like to know. If you're deciding my life for me, maybe I would like to know that you're going to poison me. I appreciate that you're saving me from being torn apart, but I would like to know that.
Yeah.
That was a frustrating thing to see, that they didn't talk to him at all.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
And I get, like, Jamie and Claire were in a tough spot, too, and I get that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I don't know what to, you know, obviously their hands were tied.
Yeah.
And they knew it wasn't just like they could sneak him out, because if there's no body,
yeah.
the rest of the, they were already throwing things through the windows of, you know, at River Run.
Yeah.
So they knew that these men with torches weren't playing around. I know their hands were tied, but no, I think they should have told him.
They should have told him.
Yeah.
And then when we get to the very end, I will say this. If I go my entire life without seeing a black man hanged on a tree, lynched, it will be too soon. So that was another thing where I was like, you didn't have to show us that.
Yeah.
Like, you really didn't have to show us that, especially because we're going into our special segment, Book to Screen. I don't think we have any special music for that yet. We'll get that. Was it? No. Okay. There we go.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
So clever for what we're about to talk about. So if you have been watching up to this point, well, before we go into any final thoughts, because then we're just going to go straight into the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the book right now. So if you don't want to listen, go ahead and tune out. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you later.
One thing to say too, mm-hmm. Laurie Stone Haskell, she has been subscribed from the beginning.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You were here before we were even here. Thank you. So in the books, and bear with me, I'm not going to be as specific as I would like to be, and I'm not going to talk about everything that's different from the book, but a big change from the book is that Rufus, at least, is a little bit more fleshed out in the books. We have a better understanding of who he is as a person. That he is, I guess, quote unquote, mischievous as a slave, or just like doesn't take any shit, which I appreciate. And that Jamie and Claire do not get there in time to actually save him from being hanged, as he is not hung by hook, but actually hanged within the moment that he attacks or hurts Overseer Burns. And the reason that she uses atropine in the book is to stop him from suffering from the process of being hanged, which I thought I would like to see that more.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to talk, and also it
not
comes later,
good, but
not either good, but it comes later in the book so that we're introduced to Brianna's storyline earlier than waiting till episode 3 to see Brianna.
Also, what I've read too is that they were actually there at River Run for 3 months.
Yeah.
And they shortened it, I think, just to this one episode.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I know there's a lot in the book. I think the book is like 1,124 pages or something like that. But you can breathe, Outlander. This season, it's okay to give us some breath. Like, it's a lot to pack in. I get that. But it can be a little overwhelming for the audience to go through all these beats and not have any breathing or room to breathe for it. So that's the biggest thing from the book, is that Rufus, I think we get a little bit better understanding of him, which I would appreciate, because as of right now, we don't really, the slaves aren't fleshed out And I don't know if we're really going to have much more time with them. So it would have been nice to give them a few beats to really show humanity, especially when they spend majority of the episode being called property. But yeah, so they arrive too late. She gives the apatrophine, which I think makes more sense in terms of that still goes in line with doing no harm, because she is doing what's best for her patient.
Yeah.
And sometimes what's best for your patient is ending their suffering. That's a very controversial statement I just made. Anyways. So yeah, any final thoughts on that? Or,
well, no, I mean, just going along with what you said, he was going to die anyway. So there's nothing, to me, there's nothing controversial if someone's already dying from their wounds and you just, you know, quicken it so that it, instead of two, you know, I don't know how long it would take, a couple hours or less. Yeah. That makes it so that they just fall asleep and they're not in pain anymore.
Yeah. I think it would just would have been a nicer moment. And I would have, if I think just having the acknowledgement of the slaves as humans, even if it's just for a 1 minute, 2 minute scene, would have made the whole episode a lot easier to digest.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think any final messages from the chat before we wrap up?
We actually do. And this has to do with the book. So fair warning, anyone.
I think everyone who's not in the book is already tuned out.
We actually have a couple comments about his hanging. Mm-hmm. It was actually Billie Jean Girl 24 says that they hanged him. Here he is. Bernadette actually says, no, pretty sure he was impaled with the hook in the book.
Oh, even in the book.
Okay. And Elizabeth Brown says, yes, he was. Lynn Lawson says, yes, he was hooked in the book.
Thank you guys so much for letting us know about that. I'm currently working on getting the book so I can actually catch up and read. So if it's a little ship shoddy right now with the segment, I apologize. I'm working on it. All right. Well, that clarifies that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're going to do a quick round of predictions and then wrap up.
I'll wait for that.
Yeah.
This is kind of coming from the previews, but obviously we know from that they are leaving River Run.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to run into Bonnet again.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but we saw some things with Brianna. So my prediction, as someone who has not read the books, is that she is going to maybe accidentally time travel back and end up running into Jamie and Claire.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
Yeah.
We are getting Brianna back. Brianna.
Your favorite.
Yeah, she's my favorite. So I do think it's going to be interesting to have to take a break. Oh my God, let's take a break from America and go back to Brianna in the 60s, 70s and really catch up with them. I think that'll be fun to see. And then also I would like to see if they're going to take on Tryon's offer before they just go west. And I don't know how west they can go at this point, but it'll be fun to see. All right. That wraps up this episode of Outlander on AfterBuzz TV. Where can they follow you?
I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman. You can also find me on the Ray Donovan AfterBuzz TV show on Sundays at 7 and the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz TV show on Sundays at 5.
All right, and I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow. I just want to also let you know that we are moving to Sunday, this Sunday. So we will be on here at 8 o'clock right after the airing, so you won't have to wait a day to see us. I'm also on Doctor Who at 9 o'clock on Sundays, and you can catch me on Lore potentially this Wednesday at 9. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you actually this Sunday. So not even next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.